M-A-M-A-L-O-H-O-A. M-A-M-A-L-O-H-O-A. Mama Maloa Highway. Having breakfast with Bob. Oh, yeah.
Poncho Man. I'm a round of applause for our man, Poncho Man. We are presented by EAS Sports Nutrition, Cliff Bar, Timex, Roca, Tanya Puna Resort, Rudy Project, Slow Twitch. Our next guest, three-time Olympian, goes back to the sport till when the earth was still cooling, 1992. Mr. Tim Don. How about a round of applause for Mr. Tim Don?
Oh, you're making me feel great. Thanks.
How old were you in 1992?
1992, I was 31. So, yeah. No, 92, I was 14.
14, and yeah. What got you in the triathlon?
Well, indirectly, Spencer Smith. He probably doesn't know it.
He will now.
Yeah, that's
one of our favorite guys.
No, we swam in the same swim squad, or he was in the A squad, I was in the B squad.
Yeah.
And he'd always get in the pool by running halfway down the pool and diving in, and the coach would go nuts, but that was like his thing. And
yes.
One day after swimming, he turned up in his, you know, gangster car in West London.
Yes.
Got out a pink Evans bike with tri-spokes, and I was like, what is that? I want some of that. And I joined the local triathlon club, and here we are now.
Spencer had a little fashion to him.
Oh, yeah, no, very fresh, very London.
And that whole rivalry with Spencer and Simon, they didn't like each other.
Really? I didn't notice that. Oh, it was brilliant. Yeah.
It was great. It was good for the sport.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, and it was a global, it was the two best in the world. And it was.
Hated each other.
Basically, yeah.
I remember Simon telling me there were times he was worried that Spencer's dad, Bill, was going to jump out of the crowd and beat the crap out of him during the race.
I think he tried that a few times, actually, yeah. And then you throw Bill Black, who was Spencer's coach back then, two Bills together in a car, they'd go nuts when he was racing. So it was really passionate about sport. So no, it was brilliant.
So what was your first world championship?
1995 ITU Junior Cancun. Yeah,
and that wasn't drafting yet, right? It was draft.
Illegal. And it was the old school where it was 17 to 20 year olds,
right,
non-drafting. So I turned up as a 17-year-old who was so high, and Craig Walton was a last-year junior who was
like
8 foot tall. You know, he was, you know, kicking ass in the seniors. So I got schooled that day, let me tell you.
So as you're progressing, were you on the when did you find out that the triathlon was going to be in the Olympics for the first time, and was that become your immediate goal?
Oh, as soon as we found out about that, it was. But before then, I mean, back then, you wanted to win ITU Worlds,
right,
and then you wanted to come and win Kona. You know,
so you were even thinking Kona even back then?
Oh, yeah, I mean.
Because that really was all there wasn't a lot else out there.
No, it was like, once you've done that, you know, the boys were moving up, whether it was Welshie, you know,
yes,
Wes Hobson, you know, Mike Pigg.
Right.
You know, the guys on the front covers of the magazine back then, that's what they did. And then 1998 at Lausanne World Champs, which is the home of the IOC,
right,
they announced 2000, you know, it was going to be in the Olympics.
2 years away.
2 years away. And that was my last year as a junior, racing. And I thought, well, I'll put Kona on hold and, yeah, give this Olympic thing a bit of a crack.
A little bit of a crack. And talk about making that first team, going to that 2000 Olympics in Sydney. How historic was that to be there for the first ever Olympic triathlon?
Oh, I mean, when I think about it now, it still gives me goosebumps. I mean, Australia are passionate about a lot of things, sport being one of them, and triathlon is massive
there. Top of the
list,
yeah.
Diving in behind the Sydney Opera House, the transition area was on the steps of the Sydney Opera House. I was in a team of Simon Lessin and Andrew Johns, Simon was hands down favorite.
The favorite, no question.
AJ had won, I think, 4 World Cups that year, so he was the boy to beat, and I was just tagging on as a 20-year-old, so, you know, I had a ball there, and, that definitely, you know, the crowds went nuts. I remember one point, I think it was the second lap, I was running with Peter Robinson.
Yes.
And I had to either run away from him or slow down because the noise was absolutely deafening. Robbo, Robbo.
Yeah.
So, it was an amazing experience. And, you know, to be part of a global event like that, you know, that was so new to triathlon. You know, there wasn't this social media thing that we have now where we can get triathlon out there a lot. So to be along the likes of meeting Haile Gebrselassie in the Olympic Village, seeing the dream team, the USA basketball team in the village, it really was, yeah, I'd recommend it. And it's an experience.
So then you stay on the Olympic path, right? So 10th in 2000.
Yeah.
So getting, you know, top 10 at your first ever Olympics.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Exactly. Then 18th in 2004, Athens. Now, the cool thing about Sydney was the fact that it was the women's triathlon was the first event of the games. Yeah. The second day was a men's. So it was a showcase event. They were showcasing the city of Sydney to the world through the sport of triathlon. So being the second day, then you go to Athens. Compare the Olympic experiences.
It's different, obviously, you know, with it being the first time, right. Australia being so passionate. And Athens, you know, I mean, the Greeks are not known for world-class triathletes.
Right.
And also as an athlete, you know, you go there with different expectations. You know, 4 years on, you know, you're looking to...
You want to win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the experience is great. You don't need the picture with the dream team this time. No. You want to win.
Well,
You still want.
No, and you know, and I think then a lot of the federations, you know, the big federations funding had kicked in.
Right.
So all of a sudden it escalated this whole level of professionalism,
right.
Training camps of sports scientists. Some races would turn up to, there were more support staff than
right.
athletes racing.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very calculated approach to, you know, executing the best race. And, you know, I learned so much leading up to that. The course was absolutely unique in the fact I think the bike had
a big climb, right?
Well, not steep, 23%
yeah.
every lap. And and I didn't have my greatest day that year. But again, you know, you learn so much, and to be part of it was amazing. But, you know, it's a funny thing. You know, I think you get two sorts of people that go to the Olympics for their country. You get the guys like me in Sydney who are, you know, they've made the team. You know, it's fantastic. You know, that's part of it. And then you get the guys who are fighting for
the
podium.
They want to win, right.
And the day after the race, my gosh, talk about highs and lows. You can see, you know, 15 guys who are fighting for the medals not get the medals. Man, it's as if the whole world's ended. It really is, you know, and for me, it was a different experience, you know, the race and
right.
after the race. And picking yourself up off that, you know, takes a while, especially there are only three guys that can, and girls that can
we're
going to
be happy, right?
Absolutely.
And then you got to wait 4 years.
I know.
That's the thing.
That's what makes it, you know, the pinnacle of triathlon in some regards,
right.
is that you get one bite of the cherry 4 years, and depending how your career goes, sometimes you get one bite, sometimes you get more than one bite.
Yes. And so you got three.
I got three, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm full.
When did you feel like you said early on, Kona was in the back of your head.
Yeah.
When did you think it was time to move on to longer distance?
I think after Beijing Olympics 2008, I got food poisoning just before the race. You know, unfortunately, I didn't finish the race. I tried a 70.3 in South Africa, which was, you know, I spent a lot of time there. And I got fourth. And I really enjoyed it. And the different aspect of not so much the racing, but it's all about me.
Sure.
And what I can do as opposed to tactics.
Our team, being a team guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so then I thought, yeah, but London was calling. Home Olympics.
Yes.
I'm a London boy at heart.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? So, you know, I decided to really focus on London. And then, you know, after London, you know, I although I did start a long time ago, I still thought I was young enough to have a go at Kona. So after London was when I really truly, changed my focus. And by then there's a very successful 70.3 series, the Ironman put
on. That all of a sudden that came out of, because it used to be you had to go Olympic distance to Ironman.
Oh my
right?
God.
You had to go four times as far.
I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah. So you started at 70.3. Yeah. You got third at the Worlds in Mont Tremblant 2014. So obviously you're doing the right stuff. What was the toughest part of that transition?
I think moving to America with my family, basically emigrating. You know, I'd been settled in Europe and
yes.
South Africa for so much. And,
yes.
You know, it's not just me and my wife. We had a daughter then as well. So, you know, getting the visa and then moving across, you know, that's a big, you know, when you're in your mid-30s, all my sponsors were European-based. So I basically had to start from
start
scratch.
Start over, yeah.
You know, and, you know, people had faith in me, but there were times when you doubt yourself.
Sure.
You know, but I started working with Julie, great coach.
Julie Dibbins,
yeah. She's done all right here, I guess.
Oh, yeah, she's done. Yeah.
And, you know, having her in my corner has been a crucial part of my transfer from ITU 70.3 and now Ironman.
So this let you, Ironman Mallorca, you win a full Ironman.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you guess. How hard was that?
It was hard. You know, I think anyone that's kidding themselves says it's not. It's hard. Not so much, well, obviously the physical effort, but the mental, you know, application for 8 hours to stay focused, you know.
when you're used to a race, it's an hour and 40.
Absolutely.
Hour 45,
and,
yeah.
And the fact it, you know, it, you know, the run is a marathon. It was my first marathon I've ever run.
Mallorca.
Mallorca was. So, you know, I thought I'd have a really good warm-up by doing a 180K bike.
Yeah, I'd be loose.
Yeah, that's it. So, no, you know, that was tough. And, you know, but sure, when you win a race at your first bite, you know, maybe it would have been better if I hadn't have won, you know, and it had have been tougher. But, you know, nutrition was great for me.
Yes.
Pacing was great, you know, and I was able to run with it, or race within myself, and win and secure the points
to be get here. Yeah. And then St. George, right? 2015.
Yep. St. George this year, you know, that was my A race this year, early season.
U.S. Championships.
Absolutely. And, you know,
now that you're living in the U.S.
That's it. Yeah. Actually, you got to say North American Championships.
Oh, North American.
Canadians go nuts.
Oh, okay. You're right. North American. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that was my first, you know, and I did it the year before and got third, and it was a kick-ass field. And again, this year, you know, Kinlay was there. Unfortunately, he couldn't race.
Right.
I think he actually heard I was going to race. So
and
he,
so he got out.
The pin.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He's
yeah,
a
yeah.
wise man. Why is than yeah, I give him
yeah,
credit
exactly.
for?
But you're 37 now.
I am 37.
37,
yeah.
And you're a rookie.
I know. God, can you believe it? I'll tell you. Forget the 37. Just call me a rookie.
So wait, 3:46 for 1500 meters.
Oh yeah, running. Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, that's me.
And did you get to run in the same race as Haile Gebrselassie?
I did. Yeah, I did. There's a big race cool, in England called the Great Manchester 10K.
Yes.
It's a road 10K, and yeah, I think 10,000 maybe people do it. And yeah,
you ran.
He beat me by
28:56.
Yeah, he beat me by 52 seconds. So over 10K, it's all
but right. 28:56.
Yeah, it was windy, so.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
What did, like you said, this was always in the back of your mind because this was the pinnacle. Now that you're here, have you been here before to watch?
I was here in 2011.
Okay.
I was with Specialized.
I remember that.
Yeah, they launched the Shiv and so forth. But I was very much an ITU athlete. Jan, Javi, and Whitfield were here. And
you guys were all
we
like
did the manta ray swimming, you know, we did the night beers and, you know, we were doing lots of media
vacation.
Stuff and whatnot. So, yeah. And then obviously Crowe made it look easy.
Yes.
So
you're
you
like,
know.
What's the big deal?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I came here in February for 2 weeks with Julie, Rachel, Pat Evo and Michelle. So, yeah, we came here for 2 weeks with two of the most experienced women out there to train on the course.
What did you gain from that?
Because it's a long
this course,
out and back.
Yes.
It's windy. It's hot. And it's not going to be much fun. Okay. Yeah. You come here with this idyllic dream that Kona, you know, you see breakfast with Bob and,
yes.
you know, you see the guys crossing the line, kissing the guns. You know, it's not yeah. just that.
You're watching on TV, you hear the music, you're
Absolutely.
Sitting in air conditioning, you're going, this is great. Then you're out there and there's nothing.
Yeah, you know, you've got to be prepared for this race on every front. And
yes.
you've got to be, you know, you've got to be ready for all sorts of conditions. You know, this week people are saying it's the windiest, it's the hottest, the
I've
sea's
heard that
warmer,
for 30
the
years.
Swell is the biggest. And,
yeah.
you know, you need to listen, but also, you know, if you look at Almanac, you can see the temperature for this week has differed, I think, 0.3 of a degree over the last 10 years. So it's not hotter.
It's the same.
It's the same.
Yes.
So you need to listen and, you know, listen to some guys who have raced it differently and won differently and lost differently. But ultimately, you know, I listen to Julie.
So yeah, I was going to ask if you talk to any of the other Ironman folks
besides
you. Yeah,
you know, Crowe's been great.
Yeah.
You know he's more than happy to pick the brain and
yes. He's not racing
no days. He's not racing,
that's which
so
is why he'll tell you
right.
stuff yeah
you know even the Hoff you know he's a real level-headed guy and you know hopefully he hasn't been giving me a load of BS but you know he's a you know it's such a community sport
it
no
is.
no one's trying to say there's secrets you know there are no secrets
no,
here
it's you against the course
absolutely.
At the end of the day
you've got to be smart and you know, I am a rookie, but I am 37 and I've been around the block a fair bit.
Yes.
So, you know, in terms of, I guess, the how to race the course, you know, there's certain things that are going to fall into my favor
yes.
and not into my favor. And, you know, when the biker boys attack, you know, I'm not necessarily going to go with them, but when the swim's on, I'll relish with that. So, you know, I'm going to race my race, and, you know, I'm sure there will be decisions that I have to go above and beyond what
exactly.
I'm capable of in
yes.
that moment, but hopefully they'll be calculated and they won't come to bite me in the butt in the energy lab.
Do you, ITU races are so strategic over the years. This is sort of strategic, but different. When you look at this race, do you study the other guys? Do you... Because I'm sure you knew every tendency of Alistair Brownlee and Javier Gomez. And you knew when they were going to do what.
They go fast all
yeah,
the way.
All they just go hard off the front. Or is it the type of thing, I'm listening to Julie, I'm preparing the best way for myself, and whatever happens, happens?
A bit of both. I mean, okay. You know, yeah, history's great. You know, if you look, I think the winner of this race has come the top four the year before for the last couple of years.
There's only one been second, yeah.
There's only one rookie, you know, that's won the race.
Luke Van Leerd. 1996.
You know, and but the sport's evolved from then. You know, there are tactics involved. You know, you will see people going, why isn't, let's say, Starkovic attacking? Oh, he's waiting. Well, in the old days, you know, you got, you know, Hell on Wheels and...
Thomas Hellriegel, yeah.
Yeah, and who else? You know, the Zach
Jürgen
attack.
Jürgen Zach, yeah.
I hope I bike quicker than this year he's racing.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, those guys, they hit the bike and they just went.
Right.
You know, Wolfgang, he'd hit the swim and he'd go. Well, now you've got people maybe sitting in the swim for a 2K and then hammering down the back end. So there are still tactics. But, you know, we all know each other. We race a lot more than the old school.
You were racing every week. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, we can now follow the race results. We don't just see a result. We know how they achieve that with the splits, with the timing and so forth. And people putting their power files up on is it Strava?
Yeah, Strava,
and all sorts of things. So, no, we take that, I guess, data and what people are doing. But at the end of the day, I'm me and I'm going to race how I'm going to race. Jan is Jan. Kinley's Jan. The Hoff is Hoff.
Yes.
And, you know, I think how we expect our day to go, we're going to try and execute that as best we can. We're not going to get lucky and get in a breakaway, you know, like you can
yeah,
in ITU
go off the front.
And so
forth.
I think we'll stick to the plan as best as possible.
When you look back at a career that started in 1992, is there one race that sticks out? Is it that Sydney race, or are there other races that stick out as your best?
I think winning a world title in Lausanne in 2006. The year before, I'd won three World Cups, so they're called WTSs now.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been very consistent, and unfortunately, I swallowed my tongue. I passed out in the World Champs in 2005. So, yeah, things didn't go my way. So, 2006, we decided, I was working with Brett Sutton, to put all our eggs in one basket.
Yes, all World Championship.
I live 50K away in Lausanne, in Lacin training. So, that was a big race. There was a breakaway off the front, which I wasn't in, and I jumped across on the bike on my own, and then I still got the quickest run. So, for me, that was really satisfying, and, you know, yeah, that was where it was at for me.
The other race, the Hy-Vee 2010, $200,000 in one day. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. my wife was pregnant at the time, and it meant a lot to us. And
yes.
You know, it's a good race to win, and I'd been fourth there before, and I think I'd always top 10 or
right.
But yeah, I was running. That was the year I ran my 28 on the road with. So I was in great run shape. The bike was pretty pedestrian.
Right.
So I took it out hard and. Again, you know, the Kiwis and the, I think it was, Jan was with us
Yeah.
And we went through a K in 2:42. And I remember the Kiwis going 2:42 and everyone looking at each other. And I was just like pushed on. And, you know, I got a gap early and
that was
I backed myself and to hang on. So, yeah.
We love having you here.
Hey, no, I love being here.
Love the personality. Love the energy you bring. 37-year-old rookie. You know what? Luke Van Leerd came here and he had never run a marathon before when he won this thing. You've done that now. Have you run, how many marathons now?
I've run two because I did one on a treadmill.
You did one on a treadmill?
Yeah, I was in Vegas at this Consumer Electronics show and I was doing, I did an Ironman actually indoors.
Where was that?
It was in January. It was for Polar. I swam in the Venetian swimming pool. And I rode on a CompuTrainer for 180K. And then I ran, I ran 40K on the treadmill.
And
the
last 2K short.
The last 2K then was down the strip.
Oh,
police escort. And then we had a finish in front of the Sands Convention Center.
How fun was that?
Not fun. Are you serious?
Like, why are you running going?
I just said. Yeah.
For all of us watching in front of the stands, yeah, that would have been fun.
No,
not for you.
It was unique, you know. Yeah, and yeah, it was great to be a part of.
You must have been thinking during the run, going, "What did I commit to?"
Yeah, I was. Yeah, they appreciated it.
I love it.
Yeah, so my third marathon. On Saturday.
Love it. Tim Don has been our guest. How about a round of applause? We are presented by ES Sports Nutrition, Cliff Bar, Timex, Roca, Tanya Porter, Rudy Projects, Low Twitch, and Mr. Poncho Man.
Mama Maloa Highway, riding in the sun. Yeah, we're having fun. Breakfast with Bob. It's breakfast with Bob. Breakfast with Bob.
Poncho Man! With our studio audience.